Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines and all the scenes of bookwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid table. So many times we give and rise to our quiet dancing able. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Where he
pleasure here on earth I find. I'll die upon this train.
Perhaps he'll die upon this train.
You can bury me in some deep valley for many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave,
while he is sleeping in his grave.
Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no
clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street singing songs and they're carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Table. everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. There's like four chat rooms over there. Woohoo! So, finding truth, question mark. One day away from New Year 2018, will we drag 2017 with us? Knights of the Round Table is live. All right, well, I really hope I don't have any kind of internet troubles or any kind of disruptions today. I just want to get this message out for the year 2018. I'm hoping that this world actually have a fresh start in the year 2018. Of course, it's really not looking like it's going to, but it doesn't hurt to hope anyway. As far as I'm concerned, hope is the best we've got. But I posted a couple videos on there, some of which probably controversial. But I want to turn this show today into a political debate over who's right and who's wrong and all that kind of stuff. So I want to try to, in my own unique way, deliver a message to the world out there. The first video out there is a black conservative talking about Trump, you know, and his response to a video saying that Trump's a racist. Now, I'm not going to play the video on here. I'm not even really going to talk about it. I just want whoever is interested in actually looking for truth just to go listen to it and decide for themselves what's true and what's not. The second video I posted in there is one that talks about the U.S. Constitution and the Founding Fathers and some controversies about pretty much what the country has become or what it was meant to be, and you know, the Founding Fathers not necessarily being what everybody thought they were. Once again, not going to play this video either, because you know, if you want to see the truth, you go there to shazizradio.com, click on the links one at a time, check them out and see what you think about them and decide for yourself. Once again, the third video link that I posted down in the chat room is one that I find really, really extremely disturbing. It's essentially where, in my personal opinion, this police officer not only treated this man like, you know, less than human, but actually murdered him, and then later on was acquitted for said murder, and basically now runs free and probably still has a job. But nonetheless, once again, I'm not going to play this video on here. If you want to see the video, then click on the link, watch it, and I have to warn you ahead of time that if you've got any kind of heart and soul, you're going to find this video to be really disturbing. You know, personally, I think if I was in the circumstances where the man was basically treating me like that, I would have a completely different reaction, and you know, he'd probably just end up shooting me before it's all over with. Because you just have to watch the video. It's that disturbing. The thing about what's going on in our world out here, in our countries, in America, is that there's a power structure that is being formed, and it's being formed right before our very eyes. There's always things that come on the scene that are meant to be like so supposed, you know, all that were like the red light cameras. Well, we're never going to use these to write tickets for you on your car or nothing like that. We're just putting them there for public safety. Well, then they went a whole lot further than public safety. Facial recognition and actually writing tickets and, you know, that kind of stuff. But it's always supposedly for the good of the people. It just never ends up turning out like that. Power structure, as far as that goes. But then again, somewhere in the background, if you don't somehow keep a little bit of wisdom about yourself, you find yourself getting drug into a matrix of deceit, a matrix of half-truths or whatever. You know, there's a guy out there, notorious, George Soros, and pretty much the word is that he goes around and he destabilizes nations. He gets people to not only hate each other, fight each other, and cause people to have a lack of trust in their government and so on and so forth. Am I saying you should trust your government? No. Not by any means. You should always keep your eye on them. You know, Thomas Jefferson, which a lot of people don't like because supposedly he was a slave owner back in the day. But he said the price to freedom was eternal vigilance, which means you had to keep your eye out or you're going to lose your freedom. And the whole thing that you find out here in the truth or community, you hear words like, I'm awake and, you know, seeking the truth, and that's all we want is the truth. And finding truth out there in this world is subjected to whatever information that you get. And if you get, if you're getting information from half-truths or misrepresented words or whatever, you're going to formulate a different opinion than somebody else who may have actually got the truth or may have got a different version of the truth. And so those two differences in what you were told what, as opposed to what the other person was told, is enough to cause controversy between the two individuals having a discussion. Oh no, well you're wrong about that. You know, this is, no, that's not what I heard. This is different. This guy's a racist, or this guy's a, you know, whatever. Whatever label they want to throw on him. But, in this video, on the bottom down there, where this police officer pretty much, in my opinion, murdered, flat out murdered this individual. First off, there was a time when police officers were supposedly there to serve and protect. And I know that my words are probably going to offend people today, but you know what? Psst, I don't care. Honestly, I really don't. Because I actually lived that lifestyle. Never murdered nobody. And I thought that it was all about justice. I thought it was all about serve and protect. I thought it was all about, you know, being the good guy, out fighting the bad guys. But when I got into the system, I actually found out quite differently. It wasn't always about the good guys winning. It was about who you knew and what you knew and power trips. And it's just, I don't even really want to go into that. Because on one hand, I was proud of my service. But then on the other hand, I was ashamed of my service. You know? And I served in the U.S. military. I served my community in so many different fashions, and I'm still making an attempt to, even though I'm not actually out there on the street, to try to serve my community once again. So, I've had many careers in my lifetime, and they were majority in service of the people. Well, you know, I'll take that back. They were all 100% in service of the people. Even if, you know, when I was driving a glass truck or doing roofing, I was out there serving the people. You know, when you're out there, you're doing manual labor and you're trying to earn a living, you're out there serving the people. You're serving the community. So everybody out there is in service of the community who's out there working hard and trying to do something or try to do something positive or, you know, whatever to make the world a better place. So I spent a lifetime in service of the people. And I've seen some things that no man or no woman should ever have to see in an entire lifetime. Terrible things. But nonetheless, because of my beliefs and things and patriotism or whatever you want to call it, I served my community. I served as a Navy man, I served as a police officer, I served in the private security sector, I served in the school districts, I served in small towns. Every job that I had was in service of somebody. And I didn't mind being in service of somebody. I believe in the honorable cause of trying to do good for people. You know, in my book of faith, I was told that I need to do unto others as I'd have them do unto me, and that's why I based my life on what I did. You'll find the truth in this world isn't going to be easy. It never has been. And those who would claim that they know the entirety of all the truths that are to be revealed, they're not being very honest with themselves or others if they're repeating things that they claim to be the truth. And it saddens my heart that there's things that are going on in this world that I've been told are happening, but I can't tell you with any certainty that my president of this United States is or isn't a racist. Can't tell you that. I don't know him personally. I haven't been spending enough time with him. All I know is what I've been told through whatever media sources. And I can't even tell you whether the founding fathers of this country that I live in were either good guys or bad guys. I wasn't around when that was going on. And I can't even honestly tell you that this last video that disturbed me so much was either fact or fiction, whether it really happened or not. Whether it was a play or, just a way to get me to be fearful of my government or suspicious. That wasn't there when it happened. But from the information that I seen on the video, I was disturbed by it, and from information that I obtained while out there in service of my community, I seen warning flags that told me that, if this is indeed true, that this really occurred, that this is a terrible thing, and it is a big miscarriage of justice. So, do I know it's 100%? Do I know it's true? No, I can't honestly tell you that. I wouldn't tell you that unless I knew for a fact that it was true. I just posted the video links down there so that you can look for yourself. The first video is a black man, a conservative, that is talking about Trump being called a racist. And you could say whatever you want, because people do say whatever they want about this man, that he's a sellout or whatever. Hey, this is another side of the story. This is another side of the coin that says a different view than what you may or may not believe or have heard. The second video down there, one and the same. It's a view of another person out there who he pretty much calls himself an anarchist. And do I know that anarchists are bad people? No, I ain't really met no people that really seriously call themselves anarchists. People that say they lean more towards that type of deal, where you govern yourself and do no harm unto others. That don't sound bad to me. But do I know that this is the case of what I've been taught all my life about the Constitution and, we the people, and that pretty much we've been had from start to finish? No, I don't. And even history, all the terrible atrocities that happened in history, do I know which ones were real, which ones were propaganda, which ones were not? No, I don't. I honestly don't. Finding truth is not something that is easy in this world that we find ourselves in. And it's sad. Because at the bottom down there, that video, excuse me, that video down there where the police officer takes pretty much an assault rifle and shoots holes in this man and takes away his life in the manner that he did it, that was portrayed in that video. You take the time to watch the video and then take the time to go down and look in the comments section down there. That's where you're going to find some of the more disturbing concepts of what I'm trying to point out here. Is that people would come out there and say, well, he shouldn't have moved this way, or he should have followed the police officer's instructions, and he wouldn't have got shot, and all this kind of stuff, essentially justifying a man that just literally got murdered before their very eyes, and saying why it is that the guy should have done this or shouldn't have done that, and he wouldn't have got shot. The words coming out of the police officer's mouth, I can't even call them police officers. I refuse to call them officers anymore. I just won't do it. I won't call him sir. I won't call him officer. I won't call him by any title that tries to put them above me. I won't do it. And that comes from what I've witnessed throughout my life. And I won't even go to court and call a judge your honor. I won't do it. I will not do it. Because up until the point when these individuals began to follow their so-called oath of office and act honorably within their office, they don't deserve that title. They don't deserve my respect to come out and say, your honor or officer. No, I won't do it. Respect is something that's earned. You know, the respect of your government is something that's earned. You know, you find by people's track record of what kind of people they really are. And that includes myself. I've been doing the Knights of the Round Table for a long, long time. There's been a lot of honorable knights come on here and do this show with me. But even when nobody showed up, I was still here being consistent in the words that were coming out of my mouth, talking about peace, hope, and love, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So I know that I remain consistent. And with or without anyone else, I'm still saying exactly what I said back then. That we need to be wise in our choices, and we need to be use wisdom when it comes to discerning information that's presented to us. We're getting ready to go into the year 2018. And the question of the day would be, will we drag 27 with us? And all the years prior, will we drag the entire history of humanity with us? There are people out there that want you to hate one another. There are people out there that want you to believe that others are racist against you, that they are just terrible people. But you got to look back on their track record. People that are telling you these things. Go back and look at what I've said years ago and match it up what I'm saying now with my track record. You might find some times in maybe some of the old podcasts where I lost my cool and started cursing or something. There's actually a video on YouTube that has me cursing in there, but my only means of justification for cursing in that video was because I seen a crowd of people standing around idly while this individual was stomping on this child's arm. Nobody jumped in there to save that baby. Nobody said, hey, you stop that. That's wrong. You know, nobody. If I would have been there, I would have laid them all out. Every single one of them. I would have laid out the person doing it and all the people standing idly by and not doing nothing about it. I was that angry. But can I even say that that story was true? All I had was the visual that I saw in my eyes. This supposedly happened over in China. You know, I wasn't in China. But it looked real enough to me that it disturbed me that bad that anybody would hurt a child like that, or anybody would stand idly by while someone else was hurting a child. We're talking about grown adults doing this thing. And it made me really angry, and I did a video about it. And I never took that video down, even though I don't subscribe to all the cursing, because I believe you can get your words out respectfully. And, you know, get your point across without doing all that. But even old King Shaziz the Terrible has his limits of what he can, tolerate. I'm just a human, just like everyone else out here. No different, no better, no worse than anybody else out there. And I got my own ideas and views and opinions formulated throughout my lifetime of things that I've seen. You know, got my own knowledge on certain subjects. Well, I don't even remotely claim to know it all or have all the answers to every, you know, thing that has to do with society and why it is that people do to each other what they do. I can tell you this for sure, that if I see somebody suffering, I don't want to just stand idly by while it happens. And if somebody in this world tells me that there's somebody in this world in need, I don't want to stand idly by and not even make an attempt to do anything about it. You know, I like to reach out to people and I like to try to help people. That's just in my nature. It's the way that I was raised. So, I'm just trying to figure this whole mess out. And I'm just trying to ask other individuals to join with me in the quest to figure it all out. We don't got to fight over what we're trying to find out. After all, what's the point of fighting over the truth? We want to try to get to the truth, not to fight over the truth. This world out here is messed up. That's what we've been told. You can see things in nature that tell you that there's problems that need to be addressed so that humanity can survive into the future. And we know about the wars and the rumors of wars and the plagues and the famines and the pestilence and, you know, the things that go on. It's really hard, folks. It's really hard to find the truth. It's really hard to get up here on this radio show and actually try to pour your heart out to the world and some common sense and hope that that word will travel all the way across the world and other people will talk about things and ideas and solutions for, you know, making the world a better place. It's really hard. Because if I tell you why I voted for an individual, and you've already been told all kinds of other things about somebody, this particular individual is a terrible person or whatever, well, you're not going to look too kindly on me because I voted for that person. If I tell you that I'm a Christian and you don't even believe there's a God, or you think that Christ was a fictional character or whatever, or you have been exposed to all different types of either propaganda or truth or half-truths or whatever, and you look at me because I say I'm a Christian differently than you would if I agreed with everything that you said. I'm not going to agree with everything people say. I'm only going to pick and choose the truths that resonate in my heart to tell me that this is what I believe to be true. Doesn't mean that I'm right. Doesn't mean that my truth is the only truth. You know? And so, when I look out there to the world, I don't even try to convert nobody to my particular belief system. I just try to lead by example. I just try to do what it is in my heart that I feel is the right thing to do. Don't make me any more special than anybody else. It just means I'm just a average Joe, just like everybody else, with my own views on life. Gregory Scott Busby in the chat room wrote a deal. Says, nature has always been our teacher. Everything we have learned starts with our observing nature. So when you look at the basics, you see that nothing in nature exists for itself. Everything works with everything else. Hence the creation of term, a circle of life, live from each other, live from each other, live with love. He's got some wonderful words of wisdom. He's another unique individual, just like everybody else out there. Got a wonderful heart and talent, and wants to try to share it with the world. But in those words that he spoke, it's true. You can learn a lot from nature. You don't see armies of animals running up against each other and attacking each other. You don't see them dropping bombs on each other. You don't see them disliking each other because the color of their fur. You know, you only see that in humanity. And I don't understand that. I'll never understand that. I'll never understand why people can't just treat each other like people. no man or woman's better than one or the other. That's what we're told. That's what's supposed to be right. That's what feels right. I'd like to see the year 2018 move forward, not backward. I'd like to see all the grudges of the past be left behind. Is that going to happen? Probably not. We've seen repetitive actions from what we call society over and over and over again. We're constantly seeing the same doggone thing repeat itself. Every single election cycle, this guy's a racist, that guy's a racist, this one's a criminal, and that one's a criminal. Heck, if we believed a fraction of what they said about each other during these election times, we wouldn't elect none of this trash. Seriously. If any bit of what they were true, they call it, dirty politics. They're out there talking about and dragging up things from the past and finding, the dirt on somebody else so that they can, get elected instead of the other guy. You know? And it blows my mind. Gregory wrote another deal, and he says, it's not just you, shine your light for others. Some don't always see the path, be the cosmic for all those who really need a laugh, lend a hand to old folks whose bodies don't listen no more, for those alone in life, be the hug, pushing them to the shore, be the biggest shoulder for them when their tears fall like the rain, give gentle soothing words and care to ease their suffering and pain. Forgive all those that mean no harm. We can all make sad mistakes to change this world. Just share the love that's really all it takes. Gregory Scott Busby. Sorry, I'm just like really not really good at reading things out loud. I get distracted. But anyway. Once again, more words of wisdom. The year 2018, what's it going to be like, folks? Is it going to be worse than it was the last year, or even worse than the year before, and on down the line? Are we going to drag negativity with us down the road and make this new year a terrible thing? I hope not. I honestly hope not. I hope that we find some wisdom in our hearts and minds, and I know that the majority of the people that listen to this show already feel that way and are already acting that way, but sometimes you got to say things a few times before it kind of really resonates, and maybe they'll work a little harder to share it out to other people, you know, these words of wisdom or whatever. And even if indeed you think it's a bunch of words of stupidity, you know, show it to somebody else. Let them decide whether or not it was stupid for me to say the things that I said. I don't know who in this world's really a racist other than when I see what they do or don't do. I don't know anything more than any of you that have been out there exposed to the mainstream media or even the alternative media. I just got to weed my way through this entire mess and try to come out the other side being the best that I can be. That's not always an easy task. Because like I said, you can go back in my YouTube and you can find a video where it says I used the word pissed word. And I use a lot worse words than that in the doggone video, but it's not because I'm trying to be a hypocrite, you know. It's just that I'm trying to keep my life at a certain standard so that I can lead by example. I don't need to run around and be a foul-mouthed heathen to try to get my point across to all my brothers and sisters around the world. I don't need to try to strengthen my argument with filthy words. I don't have to do that. I can put really good words out there and say it as respectful as I got. But nonetheless, that came with years of trying to make sense of it all. Years of trying to figure everything out. This bottom video over there that I posted with the man getting shot, it just it really blows my mind. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. And the fact that he felt justified in there, or that a jury found it to be justifiable to treat a citizen or a person of the world like that. Now I don't feel like any man has the right to take any man's life. Unless worst case scenario it's either you or me, you're fixing to kill me or my family, and I ain't got no choice. No choice whatsoever. I'm not just going to stand idly by and allow you to kill my family. But at the same sense, am I going to feel joy about that? No. I'm going to be frustrated and angry and sad because you put me in that position to where I felt I had absolutely no choice to do anything about it. But as somebody who has seen the inside of the workings of the police department, I understand that there was a more peaceful way to do that where everybody can come home alive. But you put a gun in the hand of a coward? That's insane. And as far as I'm concerned, that man was a coward. Because I know what his training was about, and I know how he could have defused that situation and not had to take somebody's life. But you'll have people, and even people listening in this show, get frustrated from me saying that. They're getting angry because they think that, I'm anti-police or anti-cop or whatever. I'm not even anti-government, folks. I'm anti-corruption. Scales of justice are so far off balance that average people watching from the outside this video of this body cam that was supposedly released about this guy getting shot, and then they can sit in there and try to justify the death of another human being. I saw nothing in this video that would have told me that he should have fired on that man. And the way that he was shouting out his commands had the man all flustered and stressed out. How would you try to keep a straight mind under those circumstances? You got some lunatic dressed up like a Nazi stormtrooper pointing on an assault rifle at you, telling you that you're possibly going to get shot. Now, if that ain't enough to stress somebody out, then what is? And telling them to crawl in an unnatural fashion, Now, I'm not even going to talk about that video anymore because it just stresses me out so doggone much, because I'll never get that picture out of my head. But the last thing I'll say about it is that I've seen absolutely no reason for that man to murder that other man. But once again, I'm at the mercy of whether or not this information is even real. We live in a digital age where things can be manipulated, people lie, tell half-truths, or whatever. And so I gotta be real cautious about the battles that I jump into to find out what's the truth and what's not the truth. They say seeing is believing, but sometimes in this world you've got to be careful about what you see and make sure that what you're seeing is actually what's going on. blue screen technology, green screen technology, CGI technology. It's mind blowing what, you know, Hollywood can do with videos. It's mind blowing what the average Joe can do with videos to make, you know, fact look like, or fiction look like fact, or even vice versa for that matter. So why we're out finding truth with a question mark, because even truth is questionable. You know, what is the actual truth of anything? A truth to me is, you know, when all the facts are in, and, you know, you see it right before your very eyes, you have all the evidence presented. But in some of the cases, and I would even venture to say the majority of all the cases, of all these stories and information out there, we never did get all the information in before some of us really, like, jumped on the bandwagon of, you know, this guy or that guy is a terrible person or whatever. It's finding truth is tricky, especially in the day that we live in. If you want to go into the future, dragging 2017 with us, take a good long look at 2017. How was 2017 for you? Was that a good year? Something to be proud of? What about 2016 or 2015 or 2014 or 2013? You know, was those years to be proud of? Were there advancements in humanity? Did we get to the point in our life from 2012 and on back to where we treat each other respectfully, regardless of our beliefs or our color or political views? Did we ever get to that point? And has humanity moved further? Has humanity moved forward as opposed to back? These are the questions. I think that if you could start off on the doorstep of 2018 and work your way forward. Now, I'm not saying that we got to ignore the past. I'm not saying that we got to ignore the history. What I'm saying is that we learn from all that, and we work our hardest never to repeat the same mistakes of the past, and we move forward as opposed to backwards. And we leave all that behind. You know, it sounds good in theory. They talk about forgiveness. They talk about, forgiving one another and, you know, moving on and not holding grudges. That's a little harder to do for some folks. Some folks feel like they've been really seriously violated as opposed to other folks. I can't even say that I'm white, but I feel offended when people say that white people are racist, because I don't just have my skin color. I got other races, other cultures, you know, French Canadian / Cherokee, and who knows what else. And so, the history of my people versus the history of my people, you know, I hope you understand what it is I'm trying to say. But I didn't drag the history with me when I moved on into the future, when I learned and I became my own personal individual, my own self. I saw what both sides did or didn't do, and I learned from that. Just like I've learned from every event that I've ever been exposed to in my life. When I tell you that I have seen things that no man or woman should ever see, should ever have to see, that's not an overstatement. I've seen some terrible things. And I've even gone to the pastor of my church and I cried and I said, you know, I looked into the face of pure evil. Because I could not believe that people would do the things that they do to one another. And so when people try to say whether, oh, well, there's no such thing as evil or whatever, they're wrong. They're seriously wrong, because I have seen it. I have looked into the face of the devil himself. And it's not a pretty sight, especially for somebody who has love in their heart. You know, I'm not by any means the example of perfection or the definition of perfection. I got flaws just like every one of you. Now, I don't want to drag them flaws into 2017 or 2018 from 2017. Every year, there's a tradition where you start your New Year's resolution, and some people say, well, I'm going to quit smoking, or I'm going to quit doing this, or I'm going to lose weight, or whatever. There's some more important tasks, I think, that would be better to go for a New Year's resolution. Such as, I'm going to go out into this world and I'm going to find the people that need help and I'm going to help them. It's really cold where I'm at, and it's really cold where a lot of people are at. Actually, from what I understand, there's a cold wave going across the globe right now. It's that time of the season, I guess. And whether you believe in this whole chemtrail deal where they're trying to block out the sunlight, I would think that that's probably not a good idea, scientifically speaking. Not to mention what it would do to nature. But I don't even want to turn today's show into that. I want to talk about conspiracy theory or conspiracy fact. I want to talk about choices. I want to talk about finding truth. There's a lot of people out there that call themselves truthers. There's a lot of people say that they're awake. And there's a lot of people out there spreading disinformation, whether intentionally or unintentionally. Some people do it just to get a rise out of other people. Some people do it just to get people fearful, or, you know, get them to come back to their channel so that they can get more views and make some money or sell some products or something. You'll find that at ShazizRadio.com, we're not doing that. We are not doing that. We're not trying to get you here to become famous or gain notoriety. We're just like your neighbor asking you to come to the table and sit down and help us troubleshoot the world and try to see if we can fix it. Not complain about it, but fix it. Barbara in chat room says, therefore, the grace of God, go I, we are all subject to evil. Some call it the temptation. And she's so right. This world can tempt you in all kinds of directions. And it can become addicting. You know, I saw something the other day that just kind of rung. It just threw up red flags to me. And they're talking about artificial intelligence, and they're talking about virtual reality and people putting these masks on and being able to go everywhere and see things. You know, it might even come a day where you wouldn't even know you was in prison. They'd just make it look so wonderful to you, you'd never want to leave, but you'd actually be stuck in a virtual reality. And if you never even knew you were in prison, how could you ever fight against it? Why would you even want to leave if you were in a virtual scenario where you thought everything was all wonderful and you didn't even know you was in jail? And I see that that could actually be a potential in the future for some of the technology where people are basically escaping the real world and going into a virtual world. That's kind of creepy to me. I don't think I'm ever going to put one of them masks on my face to go into some virtual reality. Even if curiosity kills the cat, and I want to see what the graphics look like, because I'm amazed by the technology of modern day graphics. But what's to say that maybe I ain't driving down the road one day and I get into an accident and I get severely hurt, and they decide that they're going to try to keep me calm and put me in this virtual scenario until my body heals up, and I don't even know I'm there. I don't even know I've been in an accident. Everything's wonderful. As far-fetched as that sounds, this is why I asked the question about finding truth and put a question mark behind finding truth, because we don't know what the truth is. As much as we want to say that we're honest people and we're trying to do the right thing, we honestly don't know the truth. None of us were around during the dawn of mankind. All we know is that through all the time of history, we've seen things, we've read things, we've been told things, and we want to find the truth of it all. We want to find justice for everyone. We want to find the peace, hope, and love that our heart tells us is the right thing to do. So when we go into the year 2018, are we going to drag 2017 with us? Once again, I want to reiterate the fact that I'm not saying that we need to forget history. If we ever forget history, then we forget how terrible things could have been in the future if we followed the past, if you understand what I'm trying to say. But we got to go into the future with our eyes wide open and discernment of all the information presented to us for just such an emergency that, this virtual reality thing really kind of takes over humanity, and, everybody's sitting around rotting on the couch and they're missing out on the real life, the real nature, everything, the truth. I don't want to see 2017 basically mask over 2018. And if 2016 was worse than 2017, and then 2018 is going to be worse than 2017, then that's all the more reason why we should keep our eyes wide open and our hearts up, and our minds, so that we don't lose humanity. If there are people out there in this world that are truly indeed suffering, and we have the technologies and the capabilities to make it so, then we can't shut up. We can't stop doing these radio shows. We can't stop speaking out loud. In my book of faith, it talks about speaking out. It talks about the power of the spoken word. And that's what we use here. We try to uplift the other spirits that are out there in the world, our brothers and sisters, to give them the hope in the world that has, in some cases, gone completely mad. So anyway, I've been joined by this wonderful lady named Barbara. How's it going?
Hello. Good morning again. How are you, Shaziz?
Well, I ain't really got nothing to complain about other than, trying to speak words of wisdom and pray that somebody will hear these words and take them to heart, so we do have a happy new year ahead of us, not a repeat of everything we've seen in the past. So, as far as complaining, I'm not the most toasty person because it's kind of cold out there.
It doesn't do any good to complain anyway, no. Right?
But I'm not living on the streets.
And, yes, exactly.
And I'm not hungry. But there are people who are.
Right.
So I feel blessed, Barbara.
Yeah. I also feel blessed. And I certainly, this whole thing about truth, I'm just listening to you and thinking, truth of what? What direction should we go in? There's so many things, that we could focus on around truth. The truth versus false news, or the truth versus, the lies about our history, who we are, who we really are, the truth versus those naysayers about Creator, Great Spirit, or sacredness, or spirit. you know, it's like, where do we go with this truth? But, you know, I also hear you saying about, let's not drag this past year's into the new year, you know, and of course that's everyone's focus. Oh, you know, my goals for this year, you know, what are my goals going to be to start this new year, and so on and so forth. And I don't know why people have to wait till New Year's Eve or New Year's to do that.
Yeah.
To change patterns that may not be supportive, helpful, loving, compassionate, and so on, you know. And certainly a lot of people think about, well, I want to get more money this year, you know. And what's the truth in that? You know, is that important? Is that the main thing? Is that a lie that we're being told? What's the truth around a lot of things about the way we live our lives and what we've been told or programmed to believe? Or, I mean, it's just like a big mess out there. And I try to focus it down to, well, one thing I know, I think, is one prophecy, because I talk about prophecy a lot, is this timeline that we are in is the time of enlightenment, meaning, I guess, the truth that there is a light within us. You could say, well, some people will say, well, that's a lie, but how do we know that? How do we know? And this time of enlightenment, it's sort of like leaving the fourth world of chaos, which is, we could say, 2017 is the end or not of that world of chaos, because we're meant to be shifting into a higher frequency, I'll call it, or a higher state of mind, or a higher or an awakening, or a consciousness, or becoming, you know, something on a higher level of humanity, and that's called the fifth world, 1,000 years of peace. It's an energetic thing, I guess you could say. And but it's sort of like, you know, is that a truth, or is that just a bunch of, you know,
well, you know,
focus,
science,
focus, focus?
Science says that heat is light and light is heat, and we're 98.6 degrees.
Uh-huh, right.
So, even science will tell you that we got a light going on, you know?
Yeah, but then, so, though, you got to take that further. So, to people listening, what does that mean, we have a light going on? But this is, I don't know, I think this is because, to me, it's sort of like an opportunity of this timeline that we're in, and not to bring with us into this new timeline, or they call it new paradigm, right?
Yeah.
Not to drag with us all the stuff, all the horrible stuff, the garbage, the, you know, fears, and everything that relates to the fourth world of chaos. So, you know, which is spinning everybody around, and chaos, and all the stuff in the past. So, to how do you let that go? Like you're saying, okay, this is going to be 2018. How do we let all that stuff go and move forward in our lives without dragging all that crap with us?
Well, I don't know, but you said something earlier about why would it take, why do we got to wait till New Year's to change our life? Well, I've been asking this pretty much the same question every time I end up going to a family funeral, and I'm saying, why does it always take a tragedy to bring this family together?
Uh-huh. You know?
And that applies with all of society as well. Why does it take something terrible for us to get the wisdom to, you know, work together?
To reach out to each other, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, it does happen. People even take note of that. Well, you know, it seems to be people pull together, come together, and help each other when there's a tragedy.
Yeah.
And after the tragedy, everybody just goes back to their corner and whatever. I don't know. Well, what is that? Why is that? Why can't we continue that, helping, lending a hand and helping and supporting, and that it takes a tragedy before people wake up and turn to their brother and their sister and help them?
Well, I think if more people kind of looked at life the way that I look at it sometimes, is, you know, I look down, sometimes even before I speak, I look down into the future and see what the reaction of my words are going to be to people out there. And I try to be respectful of that, because I know that certain words are going to make people feel bad or make them feel mad or whatever. And if I'm trying to get a point across and I want them to understand what it is that I'm trying to convey to them, I don't want to make them mad. I don't want to hurt them or anything like that. So I even in my words, sometimes I find myself having to try to, you know, walk on eggshells to try to talk to people, you know. And when I look into the future of possibilities, do I want my life to be like the last portion of my life? No. You know? And so, I kind of build my future on that. You know, my New Year's resolution is pretty much every day that I wake up. I'm trying to not repeat yesterday, and I'm trying to not drag yesterday with me, because yesterday was painful. You understand what I'm trying to say?
I do. Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to think about how to, you know, we see, when we see these tragedies happen and we see the amazing things that people do to help others, we know that people have that in them, you know, I mean, and it's always a good feeling, it uplifts us, you know.
That's that light. I believe that that's that light that's inside them where they shine at those particular points in time. And just imagine what it'd be like if they did that all the time.
But I guess I'm wondering why. Why they don't. What is that? Why does it... The question is, why... And other people have said this. Why does it take a tragedy, you know, for people to shine their light?
Yep.
I don't know if I have the answer to that. I mean, I don't know, because I see the goodness in people in those instances. Like you say, their light is shining. They're good people.
Well, I think that change, that prophecy that you talk about coming about, it kind of goes into something that my Book of Faith talks about, where it says that certain days that the veil would be lifted and the truth, you know, would be revealed, that kind of stuff. And I actually kind of feel like there really is an enlightenment on the way. And I kind of hope it is in 2018, but I really hope it doesn't come via a tragedy.
Well, that's a very important point you're making there. I hope it doesn't either, but it's almost like, it feels almost like that's where we're heading for. That it's almost like I've said before, when you find yourself in the darkest place, people seem to wait until they get to the darkest place before they turn to Creator and start praying for help and being in communication and weeping and saying, you know, forgive me, or I need your help, or whatever you want to call it. Why do people wait for that kind of place, where you're in the darkest horrible place, before you finally turn to Creator and recognize Creator, identify yourself as that child of the Creator?
There's a saying that there's no atheist in the trenches during war.
That's true. Yeah. Where are they?
Yeah, where's all the atheists? Not here.
Yeah, so that's kind of like, and there is that prophecy. Like I said, there's so many prophecies, like what you just said. There's the veils will be lifted. You know, and I think that's true. I think the veils are thinning, and I think there is this coming time of awakening, of a full-blown awakening. But it's almost like, because of our patterns as humans, that we wait for the tragedy, or we wait for the darkest moment before our eyes open up and the light shines inside of us. I hope that's not going to be continuing this pattern, but I don't know, you know.
Yeah. One of the things that I've been kind of, I wouldn't necessarily say ridiculed about, but, you know, I guess argued against, is I don't believe that our destiny is written in stone. I don't believe that even the biblical version in Revelation has to be written in stone. I believe that we were actually given a choice of how we wanted our future to play out. And with that said, I go up against a lot of people that are in the Christian community, because they think that, you know, if Revelation doesn't play out the way it was explained in the Bible, then that would make God a liar, which is not true, because there's a phrase that I keep taking and saying about what Jesus said about lest these days be shortened, that these things would come to pass. And to me, that was the biggest loophole ever given by, you know, what I believe to be my Lord and Savior, you know, that he told me this, that unless humanity went down the other road as opposed to the one that they're on, these exact things would play out. And if you go back and you look through history of all the wars and the rumors of wars and the plagues and the famine, as long as the further we got away from God or the Creator, the worse that life got, the more deteriorated that society become, the more desensitized to others' pain we felt. And only during those times of tragedy, when we seen that things were getting too far out of hand, did we ever go back to trying to be like the Creator. Does that make any sense?
Yes, you're speaking exactly what I've been saying. I'm saying it in a different way. It's when you come to the darkest hours, and that's when you turn to Creator. That's when you go back to the original teachings. Yeah. You know, and it's sort of like in the way of many prophecies. I agree with you. I don't think prophecy is written in stone. I think the prophecies are given to us, basically, so that we can choose what we want to, which roadway do we want to go down. And even in Indian and Native prophecies, there are those two pathways, these two roads, you know. The Hopi have the same prophecy. You know, written on stone, actually. It is written on stone. It's a petroglyph. And they've talked about that because they became so concerned. And they showed how there were the two roads. One would lead to the end, you could say, or the worst case scenario. And the other one would lead to the blooming of beauty in life. So many of these prophecies have come true. But I do believe that Creator gave us free will. I believe that, you know, like you say, we have, words are powerful. I totally agree with that. Words, thought, emotions have a power. Our choice, our beliefs are powerful. And, we are co-creators because I believe we were given that ability. What we focus on, how we speak, how we treat others, create and manifest continually what our experience is going to be like.
Yep. You know,
so I don't believe that these prophecies are written in stone. I think prophecy is giving us sort of an insight that we could see possibly this may happen if we don't choose this pathway or if we choose that pathway.
And I honestly believe that there's a certain point in everybody's life, you know, not excluding myself, because I see things in the future that haven't happened yet, but it's not like the hoodoo voodoo version of you know, being able to peer into the future and tell people's future. It's not like that. It's more like when I look at things that are going on right now, I can actually see two separate timelines of the same event and the ending of each one of those. Almost like what you just explained about how it was written on that rock with the two roads.
Yeah.
And so I think that came, however it came about, it came, as far as I'm concerned, it was some sort of divine thing and wisdom that was put down in front of me to help me to tell people what it is I've been trying to tell them all along.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that to make myself sound special, because I'm not, because I believe everybody's got this same deal, because even in my book of faith, Jesus said that all these things that I do, that you can do as well if you believe, and you will do greater things. He said that. All right.
And I believe that that's a truth.
Yeah.
You know, when you, there are certain things I've learned in my life ever since from childhood, that when I experience something or someone says something, that it has an energy. And I didn't know that. I mean, I couldn't name this energy or frequency. It just felt differently. That's the only way I can say it.
Yeah.
All right. So I could tell when people were lying, for instance,
yeah,
because it was a different energy. Right. So I learned very early how to discern. And this is a very key word, discern. discernment is a tool that we were given, and it's about sensing, or our sensory perception, you could say, or feeling, the feeling that we get when we see something, hear something, or read something,
yep.
Right? That this discernment, because what we hear, what we read, or what someone says has an energy. And there's the truth comes with a different energy, let's say a frequency, as a lie comes entirely different frequency or different energy. And if you're tuned in, if you're alert and aware, you can feel and sense that energy. Is this the truth? Is this a lie?
Yeah.
They come with different energies. And that's a tool that we all were given, but not everyone listens. You could say like your intuition. Not everyone listens or trusts that intuition or that inner knowing, we could call it, right?
Yeah, and what I'm trying to explain to somebody, it's not like little voices in my head telling me things. It's me literally seeing these two paths.
Well, yes. Well, it comes, for me, it comes in different ways. Sometimes it's visual, sometimes it's audio, or sometimes it's a sensory experience, either way. But, you know, but everybody has these gifts. But I have to say that the majority of people probably don't trust them or have been, you know, told that they're false or don't believe in that or whatever it is. But everyone has the ability to use that tool of discernment. We were all given that.
Yeah.
Because everything has an energy. You know, if you say something to someone and you know it's a lie, it's false, that has a different, it comes at you with a different feeling, you know? And if you, the same thing with something that is a truth, it comes with a different feeling. And this is how we use that tool of discernment. You know, but I have been given over my lifetime many prophecies. And, you know, the prophecies that I've been given are not pretty.
Sure.
They're very concerning to me, you know. And all that I can do when I see these, something coming or something possibly coming, I'm not particularly given a timeline per se. It's just a visual of something possibly coming down the road. So that tells me that it's a possible, just like other prophecies are spoken by ancient people.
Yep.
These are possibles.
And I believe that is the driving force behind why you and I are actually sitting here having this conversation and praying that the world will open their ears and listen. Because it's not that we're trying to sit out here and preach doom and gloom. We're trying to show there's a separate path that we could be on that would lead us to a better place than where we're end up going.
And that's the most powerful, amazing thing, is that more and more as I see that there are those solutions or those other possibilities available to us, that excites me. That gets me really, really going, because I'm thinking, you know, Creator has given us many, many opportunities and has laid them all out for us, and it's in our hands. It's sort of like it is our responsibility to, you know, I always say to people, nobody's going to come and save you. I'm sorry. There's not no person, no ET, no whatever government person is going to come and save us. This is on a higher level. It's got nothing to do with what, you know, what we think, oh, people want a better job. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about our life. I'm talking about the spirit within us. I'm talking about the future of humanity. Nobody's going to come and fix this. You know, it's just not going to happen that way. Even if, you know, what you say, the revelation and the Armageddon and the Messiah and the rapture, all that stuff, it's still in our hands, and the way we live our life that will get us to back home, I guess I want to say, back to source, back home, back to that light, back to that unconditional love that I believe is what we were created from.
Yeah, and we talked about a lot yesterday about evil in this world. You know, we're up against we're up against an evil. I don't care what people want to call it or whatever. You know, we're up against an evil. And the best that we can do is just that. The best that we can do. I don't want to, even though I know that what my book says about the future, I don't want to lay down to evil. I don't think that, I had never read any word in that book that told me that I was supposed to lay down to evil.
Right.
You know.
No, well, it's the complete opposite. And also, I feel that what is ever written in that book, or whatever holy people have said, even Yeshua, even the white buffalo calf woman, even Buddha, even the peacemaker who came to Turtle Island, all these holy beings all brought the same message. It's a simple message. It's not complex, you know, and that is meaning. So to me, they came from the source, creator or great spirit, Wangkan Tangka, it does not matter the word, it's still the one creator, okay, who created everything from love and joy, unconditional love, has given us the opportunity to take care of ourselves, to make the determinations and the decisions of how we want to go forward in life. And there's no interference. I mean, there's the messages are everywhere. Nobody's going to come and save us. Nobody's going to make it all better. That's our job, I feel. That's my perception, I feel. Because otherwise, if somebody comes and makes it all better, what have we learned?
Well, Barry said in the chat room, prophecy is written in stone, and to stop fooling yourself, many will be deceived. But in my response, you know, Barry and I feel like we're of the same faith, but I also feel like that, you know, when I read these words, that I take words literally, you know, and I'm fearful of a revelation type world, you know. I don't want to see people have to go through that. And so if my words, because it's not over until it's over.
Well, also, I'm going to just jump in and I'm going to say, look, if prophecy were written in stone, I might as well just give up now.
Yeah,
I might as well forget talking to people and saying we can change, we can make something better, we can shift from that evil, from that dark, devastating place into the higher love and divine compassion and love. And we could. Why should I even bother then if prophecy is written in stone? Why is there the good and the evil? Why are there prophecies that tell us both roads are available to us, even in the Bible? Yeah. So I don't believe that. I believe then we all just give up. If people say, well, there's nothing I can do, it's already written in stone.
Well, second part of his comment says many will be deceived, and many have already been deceived.
That's true.
Deceived.
Well, that I feel is very true.
But
I'm not going to be one of those.
That's what I refuse to as well, and I think that's probably what kind of brings me, you know, to almost to the edge of what some people would call a heretic, because when Jesus said what he said, it told me that it's not over until he shows back up, and until that point, it's up to us how we live our life. And
why would Creator keep sending people here, good people, messengers, if it's all written in stone and there's no opportunity to make a change? Why bother?
Well, I look at it like this, and I always use a father, or earthly father, as an example. You know, when I leave my kids and I got to go to work, and I tell them, I say, look, you know, I want you guys to take care of yourselves and keep the house neat and tidy and get along and have everything worked out when I get home. And so if I leave the house and I come back and my kids are swinging from the chandeliers like monkeys and things are broken and half the house is on fire, I'm gonna be riled up. They're gonna have to feel my wrath, because I'm gonna be going crazy. That's our home. But then on the other hand, if for some reason my message resonated with them, and then they turned around when I come home, everything was in order, everyone was getting along, you know, kids all got their homework done, everything is orderly, and I'm going to be happy. I'm going to praise my kids. I'm just going to be wonderfully surprised that they learned the lesson. And so that's the way I kind of look at it, you know, what I believe God to be, is that whenever you know, if we come back and this place look like it did, like in the book where it says, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Man, if we get to that point, it didn't sound like it was very good back in those days. And if it gets to that again, and God,
well, it says right, and it says right in the Bible that things really got bad here, and so that was the end of that. It's sort of like you send your children, like you said, I come home and the kids are wrecking havoc. You're gonna get, you know, you're gonna get upset.
Yeah.
And you know, not that you're gonna destroy your children. Okay, you know, that's different, but there is that. In the Bible it says, so there was on this earth all these things that were happening, and I can't quote the Bible, but I've, you know, read these pieces, that there was fornication, and there was animal stuff going on, that there was cannibalism, that there was all this stuff going on, and it's sort of like Creator said, okay, that's it. You guys had your chance.
That's right.
Now here comes,
enough.
Right? So I feel what you're describing is the family of man.
Yep.
And we are the children, if you believe that we are the children of Creator, Mother, Father, and that they sent us out on this Mother Earth, as all parents do, you know, send those children out to the world to find their way. We gave them a good foundation. We gave them all the wisdom. We gave them all the information. We gave them all this unconditional love. We gave it all to them. Now they're going to go out there. They're going to stumble around. They're going to make mistakes. They're gonna wreck the house, maybe, whatever, okay? And then there's this forgiveness. So there's this forgiveness. And then it gets out and gets worse and gets worse and gets worse. So there's something that we learned about. It's called tough love.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Tough love. It's sort of like, okay, there comes a point when your child just cannot get it together. They've been given every chance. They've been given love. They've been given support. They've been given everything available that a loving parent could give their child, and that child just keeps going down the wrong path, dark path. There's a final time when you say, okay, tough love means basically that you step back and you let that child go without any support. It's just like an alcoholic, right? The same thing. That alcoholic is not going to finally help themselves to heal, because they're the ones that have to do it. If you keep shoring them up and making it all better for them, that's just not going to help.
And, you know, Two Dogs said in there, point is, did you get the message? I don't know whether he was directing that with us or what, but it's a whole key.
Well, that is a good point. Did we get the message?
Yeah.
I think we all got the message. But then you come back down here, you start your life, and your Creator gave us free will.
Yeah.
Right? We could choose. So we can choose to become that child who is grateful, that child who is compassionate, in service to Creator, Mother, Father, with gratitude. We can choose that. Or we can be tempted, which we will. We can choose the other path, because temptation is ever present. And we know where that temptation comes from.
Well, my book of faith said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And
what about the children?
Yeah.
What does it say, become like a child?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I can't quote it, but I know that's there.
Well, the whole thing is, if we're going to move into a new year, and we're all going to try to find the truth, you know, which, like I put the finding truth with the question mark on there, because we can't sit here and argue our truths, and we never do. You and I never do. We may not come from the same exact background or whatever, and we might have different views or opinions on there, but we can sit here together, and we can look out, and we can see that we've both been showed that there's troubled times ahead of us, and those are going to be the times that are really going to test humanity to
its
limits. Yeah.
That's the truth right there. That's a truth that I don't think you could argue with, although I don't know, maybe some will, that we're headed for troubling times. And I think it's not gotten as bad as the tragedy that brings people with the light shining and waking up. I don't think we've got there yet. I think we're moving into that every day. I think we're moving into it. So I suppose, I don't know, is the truth that, could we say this is a truth? The Creator has given us all an opportunity, given us many, many chances over and over and over again in our lifetimes. The last time people got chances, they didn't work so well, and they all wound up, you know, drowning in the flood. So I don't know. I think Creator has been very kind and loving and forgiving and has given the children of this earth many, many opportunities to choose the right path, or let's say the correct path or a better path. And I don't think we've come to that, the worst tragedies yet. I think we're seeing spiking things like this, you know, coming, happening. But I think, and I have said that I think we've reached a point where it's a crucial point in time. I do believe that. I don't think that we've gone beyond hope yet. I don't think we've reached that point yet. I think that there's a kindness here and a hope.
I believe you're right, and the reason why I say that is because I'm still out here, you're still out here, and we are still preaching hope, and if things were beyond hope, even you and I would be so discouraged and so disheartened about the whole situation. Nothing we're saying is being heard, nobody's listening, they're taking the advice, they're not trying to do anything. Barry said in the chat room, change in your own life is all that matters, the way of the world will continue in his belief. And he also said, and we will see events prophesied unfold. I believe that we honestly are and have been seeing prophecies unfold, but I also believe that
they're not unfolding by themselves.
Yeah, they came with a choice.
That's right. Every prophecy has a choice.
I believe
that's the whole point. Yeah. But here's the thing, when you just said we haven't yet given up, there have been times when you and I have said, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm done. I've said that, but you know what? I got kicked in the butt then.
Yeah, and you brought me back off the edge because I was ready to throw in the towel and say, the heck with it. But that's the whole key. Together, you and I were a lot stronger than we were separated.
But I'm going to tell you, that was a temptation. That was that dark entity. That was evil picking at me.
Yeah.
Saying, oh, you should just give up. Well, your words are not reaching anybody. Nobody's listening to you. Nobody's changing. I almost fell for it.
And where would we be today if we would have fell for that and just shut it all down? We'd be sitting there waiting around for the sky to fall. You know?
It's almost like when you say, there's no hope. When somebody comes to that point in their life, where there's no hope, I don't see any light around me, it's all darkness, there's no hope. Something happens. There's always something that brings you, that uplifts you out of that. I have been there, in that place, when I didn't want to live here anymore. I have been to that place.
Yep.
And something invariably happens. And that's a beautiful thing. And so I have to look at that over and over again. I have to say, there's a grace here. There's something sacred and I call it grace. It's like we've had a grace period.
I got the
message that a couple of years ago, our grace period is coming to an end, folks.
I believe that you and I have literally walked through the Valley of Blessings. I believe we walked through that Valley of Blessings for a reason. And the Valley of Blessings, I don't know if anybody out there remembers hearing me talk about it on the prior show, but it was a sermon that I heard about those were the worst times of your life that made you the person that you are today, and the reason why you say that and do the things that you do. And looking back, I wish I hadn't had to go through that, but I'm glad that I did, because now I can see the world in a different manner than I had ever saw. It was like the light turned on. And no matter where our truth ends up being, if we go to try to find this truth together, we will find the truth together. Eventually, we're all going to get to some point where everything, has been revealed, and, pretty much the game's over. That's it. We either pass the class that we're in, or we fail and go back and repeat it. I don't know. But I do know this, that if we ain't seeking the truth together, we're arguing amongst each other, and nothing's getting accomplished.
Well, I can only say that my truth is my truth. I cannot force anyone to take my truth. I mean, I'm not here to do that anyway. I'm just sharing, like you're just sharing, our experiences and the things that we've received that in my truth meter is high. So that's why I share it, because it's on the high point of the truth meter. And so that's what I share. But I'm not here to push anybody, to threaten anybody, to force anybody to believe my truth. I'm just here sharing because I was told that's what I have to do. And the times that I was saying, okay, I'm not doing this anymore, because I feel like my words are hitting a brick wall, and I'm just, that's the end, that's it, why should I bother? And I got kicked in the butt. And I mean literally by that, I mean the spirit said, no, you have to remember what you're here for. And you're here for these words, you're here to share, you're here. And it's up to the people, it's up to those out there who hear your words or your voice or receive what it is that we've given you, it's up to them. Yep. Okay, whether they're going to take what you say and use it, realize it, bring it into their own hearts or not.
Every time that I get to the point where I'm about ready to just throw my hands up and give up, my heart shows me a picture of the faces of the people that rely on the message that we share with everybody. And
well,
so,
it's just like the messengers that have come throughout history, the varying messengers, you know. People want to kill the messenger. They've killed these messengers. Gandhi, they've killed. Jesus, they've killed. You know, I mean, on and on and on. We could go down the list. Well, it's just the same. They're coming and bringing the message, and it's up to the people what they choose. They want to choose to follow that, bring that message into their hearts. It's all good messages. It's not like they're messages saying you go out and kill people and just take everything for yourself. Those aren't the messages.
Yeah, the messages like that, I firmly feel, come from the dark side, you know.
Absolutely. So all these messengers who have come over these periods of human history all bring the same message. It's all about love. It's all about compassion. It's all about doing good work. It's all about being in service. It's all about being grateful. It's all about the source. It's all about creator, that creator or God or whatever you want to say is within us, that we are made in the image of the creator. What does that mean?
Well, in my mind, it's I take it quite literally, you know, and
Does that mean to you? I do too, so we have to think about that. These are words. You see, we hear the word, you know, the word is in the book. The word is on the mouth or coming out of the mouths of certain peoples and whatever. What do we do with those words?
Well, from what I've been telling people all along, and I stick firm to it because it said in Genesis that we were made in God's image, that would mean to say to me that we are creators, and we do create. We create our own pain, we create our own suffering, we create our own destiny, and so with that said, and then the words that were spoken by Jesus has said that all these things that I do, you can do as well if you believe, and that you would do greater things.
And I have seen people do miracles. I have seen people heal people that the medical Western medicines could not heal. I have seen this with my own eyes.
Even the doctors will say that they don't have an explanation scientifically or medical field wise how it is when a group of people come and pray over another person who's sick and they get better. They don't have to understand it, but there's a lot of hospitals that are, advertising faith-based healing as well as traditional medicine that they practice already. So, you know, they're not closing the door to people.
They've opened the door to that.
Yeah.
Yes, but you know, I want to say more about in God's image. You know, I guess we have to get to know God. We have to really think about who Creator is, who the one divine Creator is. And, you know, to me, I've learned, because I grew up Catholic, and of course the image of what God was has stuck in my mind, you know. And I've come to realize it is not that image at all, that's man-created image, you know. To me, it is the highest divine frequency or energy of unconditional love and compassion and tenderness. And I use that word tenderness because I have experienced that tenderness, you know, coming from that source. And I think when we say, this is my perception, that when we say we were made or created in that image, those are the things that we were given. We were given the ability. And again, it comes back to we were also given the free will to choose. So we were given the free will to choose to be compassionate. We were given the free will to choose to be kind, to be loving, to be tender to others. You know, that's what that to me is in God's image. And we were given the ability to create. We were given the ability to heal. We were given all these same abilities. That is how sacred and powerful and amazing that we are.
There's a story in the book when it talks about how Moses went up on the mountain and he saw the burning bush and it actually changed his physical appearance and stuff whenever he came down out of the mountain. But when I think about the actual physical appearance of God, I think about an energy force that, you know, is, as you explained, that is pure love. And so if you actually take a scientific view of what humans are, we are energy. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, and so we
I have felt that force of pure love.
Yeah,
experienced that.
I told
you so many ways.
Yeah, I told you about a dream, a vision, I'm just going to call it a vision because that's what it felt like to me. I literally got to stand in the presence of God. Of course, now in my vision, I saw God as, like you mentioned earlier about the traditional, you know, the old man and that kind of deal like that. But I would also not discount anybody who would see God in a completely different, and maybe even a woman, because somebody said to me one time, a long time ago, keep in mind this is coming from the mouth of somebody who professes to be a Christian, that Buddha and Jesus and all the other people out there were, you know, sent to different cultures, because in the book it talked about how that all the tribes and the languages were basically scattered and you couldn't understand. I couldn't understand Chinese, but nonetheless they're still humans just like me. And so if I was God and I was going to present my messengers or my son to the world, I would present them in a that would be closer to what they would understand as their culture.
That's correct. Yeah, I agree that. I agree with that too.
And so I'm not discounting anybody's what they think that God looked like, but in this vision, I stood in the presence of the most purest love that I had ever stood before in my existence. And even if you wanted to say or do something bad, there's no way you could have done it standing next to that kind of love. And
I had the same experience. We talked about this. People call it a near-death experience, but I didn't die. I was awake.
Yep. And I also, in the same exact vision, I went on a journey. Because as I was standing next to God and I asked him, what do you want me to do, you know? And he basically just told me, you know, in his words, to go look around. And so I wandered through heaven and I looked all over the place and I saw amazing things. And I noticed that the farther I got away from where God was standing, the things began to change.
Yeah.
And I started going through different levels of the world, and I actually got down to a point where everyone was sitting there, and they weren't really smiling. There was food everywhere. It smelled wonderful. It smelled like, you know, one of the best markets you've ever been, where they got open air restaurants and stuff like that. It was like wonderful, but something struck me odd, and there wasn't nobody eating. And all of a sudden, I'm standing in the middle of this, it looked like a giant dance floor, and there's this big loud boom. Everyone but me dropped on their face as these folks came in, and, you know, I got cast out of this thing into something worse than what was going on there. And the journey that I took all the way down to a point where I was literally in a place where I was all alone. It was complete and utter darkness. Everything that you could possibly imagine as being what would be the version of God, as opposed to the total opposite, total non-existence. You know, it's really hard for me to explain. If you can separate yourself from all the people of the world, separate yourself from all that is good, all that's light, everything that, you know, we're social beings by nature. And the worst thing to me would be, I would rather literally be burning in the eternal lake of fire, suffering with other brothers and sisters who made a mistake or whatever, than to ever go back to the point where it was the total lack, the total separation from all that is good and all that is God. And so to me, that was the true hell. And, you know... The two polar opposites of standing in the presence of the most powerful love that not even human words can explain, to the total separation from everything that is that true love. Does that make any sense to you, what I'm trying to tell you that?
It does make sense to me, and I get that. And I have to say that my experience was similar to yours, but and there have been thousands and thousands of people who have had these experiences, you know, Shaziz.
Yeah.
And science tries to poo-poo them and just, you know, make them not important and essential. But everyone has this identical but a little bit different experience. The one thing that is identical that they say is that the love they felt is unimaginable.
Yeah.
And so, and you can't describe it. And I've said to people, when this happened to me, when I was taken out of my body, I happened to be driving in a car, and I was taken out of my body into this light. My body was still functioning, driving that car. So what was it that was in that light? It was my consciousness, you know. My physical self was driving the car. Other people have had that similar experience. We call it a non-traumatic near-death experience, because most people who have a near, let's say the majority of people who have a near-death experience are basically diagnosed as dead. You know, they're either in an operation or they had an accident, and then they've been revived, you know, or they just come back into their body. But so I'm out in this, I am in this light, this divine. The word divine means nothing, really. It doesn't describe. We have no words. And this is the problem, you see. Our language to describe what you and I had experienced is very limited.
Yeah.
But so that's a struggle. But so I realized I'm in this brilliant light. But it's not hurting my eyes. I'm just in. I'm embraced in. I'm within it. And I realized many years later that I am of it. You know, I've contemplated this experience many, many years, over many, many years. And the first thing I said to people that I felt comfortable with to talk about this was that I was with God. And that's the only way I could describe it. And I believe that that's what it was. But it was this pure essence, this vibrational light that is beyond our comprehension. But within that light is this divine unconditional love. And it's the most extraordinary feeling, because, again, you can't describe the feeling, because you feel this joy. You feel a level of joy and a level of love that we don't experience here on earth. We do feel love and we do feel joy, but there is nothing like this. Because I came to realize that that is where I'm going home. That's my home. That's where I'm heading back to when the time comes. I'm going back to that source. That's where I come from.
Yeah, that's where I want
to, you know, that's
be.
Where we all come from.
I tried to say, you could actually take all the best writers, the best of the best writers in the world, and all the best writers in the world couldn't formulate the words to explain that feeling.
No, you know, and it's hard for us, and it's hard for me. And one thing I did identify, though, many years later, as, again, reflecting upon this experience, what I realized, Shaziz, was that what was absent, and this was a key piece, what was absent was fear, doubt, guilt, worry, concern, shame, all that stuff was completely absent. That yep. was not there in that light.
That's true. That's what I now, felt like.
And I realized that, okay, this tells me that what we experience here as a human is entirely different from what is really, what we are from, what our source is, and who we really, truly are. That we, when we say we are spirit, that there is a spirit embodied within this physical self, okay, that spirit is that light. So I say, well, we're like a little star particle of the one true source. And that's what we are. We are that light. We are that compassion. We are that beyond our comprehension, what that unconditional love is. That is our true nature. And we are embodied in this physical experience with ego, with all kinds of stuff that we deal with here. And I think it's sort of like Creator, Mother, Father, I always say, sent us out into this world as every mother, father sends their child out into the world. Okay, and you're going to have tests, you're going to have trials and errors, you're going to fall down, you're going to pick yourself up, you're going to grow, you're going to learn, you're going to have choices. There's always going to be two roads you're going to come up on in your lifetime over and over again, one pathway or the other pathway. Choose the light or the dark, choose the teaching, embrace, you know, it or not. And this is what I feel. So that's why I have to say I know that that's where I'm going home. Back to, and I have to say, on my way back into the body, when I was told I had to go back, I felt such terror. I felt such resistance. I mean, literally. Yeah. It was so, so powerful, this resistance and this terror, because I was coming back to Earth, into this body, because I knew what was going to be coming. I knew I had been given visions of it, and I was told and shown what was going to be coming, and I was in terror. And what I heard, the voice that spoke to me, Creator's voice, said, no matter what, everything will be all right.
Yep. Two points I'd like to make. First off was that the world that we've been given, it amazes me so much more now than it ever did prior to that deal, that this world was set up to literally nurture and care for us as long as we did the same for it. And the other thing was that after this vision, my life was changed. I mean, it was changed in such a profound way that, you know, when I woke up from it, or came back from it, or whatever, however you want to look at it, I was in tears. I was in tears, both joyful and sadness, because I wished that everyone else out there on the planet could have seen what I saw and felt it, because it gave a whole different perspective to life, to the extent that there were certain things that were no longer important, you know, material things. I don't care about material things. I don't want to gather up gold and silver and become wealthy. I just want people to really realize the true gift, the true gold that has been given to each of us is each of us, and to find our way back to where we came from. That's it, in a nutshell. I feel like you, that we were here to learn some things, you know, for whatever purpose.
When I came back into my body, I continued driving, and I pulled into the driveway. My two sons got out of the car, unknowing about what was going on. I sat there weeping, 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 because of the amazing experience and that truth that I was privileged to experience.
Yeah.
And I just kept weeping and weeping and weeping, because it was so unbelievable and so beautiful, and I felt so blessed and so grateful for being shown this. And I was weeping with joy and also with sorrow that others don't know about this or may deny this, and again, this is my own personal experience, but I know that I am not alone in this, because I've read about thousands of people who have had the same experience, that Creator showed us something.
Well, the book, my book of faith, that it says that in the last days, that the young men would dream dreams and the old men would prophesy.
Right.
And I've heard that in so many different cultures as well. You know, so to me, like I said, I take things literally, and I don't close my eyes to possibilities that there might have been a whole lot of, like you call them, messengers that had come to this earth to try to steer humanity away from the path of the past. I mean, if you think about it, if anybody would take our words that we're saying right now serious, I mean, and for some miraculous reason, the whole world would just tune in to hear what it is that we were talking about, and they took it to heart, and they ended the wars, and they ended the sickness, and they ended all the greed and the stupidity, and they started coming back to morality and closer to that light that we keep talking about. And then at that instant, when we all finally get it and we're working together, and then our Creator shows up and looks down at us, how could He want to destroy such a wonderful thing? You see where I'm coming from? I'm not saying that the book is wrong in the sense that what Revelations had spoke about, but what I'm saying is, I don't ever want to see it to get to that point, and I don't think anybody else wants to see it get to that point. And I believe that it was put there as a warning ahead of time that these things, this was the path that humanity was literally on. And then humanity had already been down this road before. And it resulted in a great flood to cleanse the land of all the evils and the sicknesses and the craziness, you know?
Ooh. I mean, no, I'm going to take this prophecy written in stone again. That word. Prophecy's written in stone, so then I might as well just give up. You might as well just give up. But here's the thing, I feel, and I just got this message. If you believe that prophecy is written in stone, I feel that you are turning away from the loving Creator, Mother, Father. Because I feel the Creator, Mother, Father has given us many, many signs that we can actually change what is going on.
Yeah.
That we can actually come back to that light and be what we were meant to be. So if you believe that prophecy is written in stone, I feel like you're just turning your back on that God isn't loving, that God hasn't created children in His image, her image.
Well, in an example of what you're saying is, a good earthly father will literally, to some extent, prophesy to his children. If you keep doing that, this is going to happen. And if you do what I ask you to do, then things will be okay. Well, it's not because he hates his kids. It's because he wants his kids to excel, or he wants them to grow up to be good people, or whatever. You see what I'm saying? Does that make any sense?
Well, yes, because what it tells me is that if we are made in Creator's image, we are family.
Yeah.
Okay? We have that mother-father, and we are mothers and fathers. We are made in Creator's image, and we love our children. And yes, sometimes our children screw up, and they can be bad. But it doesn't mean that our love isn't there, you know?
Yep. You know, it's amazing. Two Dog put the two wolves us all, a good wolf and a bad wolf, and it's up to you which wolf to choose. Those are profound words.
They are, and it's a very true, because we can use this myth or story or gift or wisdom is using the two wolves.
Yeah.
But there's the two aspects of us. We have that, again, it comes down to choosing. Which wolf would you choose? How do you choose to live your life? And that's been given to us. That free will to choose. And Creator has set it all out for us. You know, which one do you want to choose? Do you want to be a good person, a caring person, a loving and compassionate person, or do you want to be a dark, evil person who does harm to others?
Well, the message that I got from that vision basically told me there's a certain place that I want to go when I'm no longer on this earth, and that's back to where that man was standing there doing what he was doing, you know, creating and all that stuff, and to be able to stand in that presence again. And I think that it was literally opening my eyes to the extent is that God don't want you to not come back to Him. That's not what this is all about. He don't want
every parent wants their child.
Yeah, but if you do come back, he wants you to come back in love. That's what a father does.
Of course.
That's what a real father does. He wants his children to come back to him, not because they're fearful of him, but because he loves them. You know, and I say a real father, I don't mean the abusive parent, the abusive father, the abusive mother, you know, that wants to be just controlling. That's not what this is about. It's about that, you know, if you're gonna stand in that presence of love, you gotta be a part of that love. And if you're gonna stand in the presence of darkness, you gotta be a part of that darkness. You can't have both in the same place, otherwise the love is tainted. You see what I'm saying?
Look, you know what, as a mother and a grandmother, you know, I love my sons unconditionally, of course. I love my grandchildren unconditionally. Now, in the choices that they've made in their lives, especially my sons, there are things that, you know, that are disturbing or make me uncomfortable or I don't agree with, but I still love my sons, you know, and I know that they are on their own journey. You know, I know that I had to let them go, that I had to watch them take different choices and pathways and so on, where I would just go, oh my God, no. Okay, but I still love my sons. I still love them. I know they're learning. I know they're on their journey, as everyone is on their journey.
Yep.
I pray for them that they will find, you know, that they will find the pathway that would be in, you know, in service and be kind and compassionate. Not that they're not kind and compassionate. They are. But again, we watch our children make mistakes, we watch our children make choices, you know, that we would say, oh, if you only chose that way, it would have been a little bit better for you, but that's not for me to command them that way. I have given life to them, and I've given life to them, and I pray for them on their journey, and I know that they're going to go on a journey like I had to go on my journey and find my way back to where I know is the source.
Yep.
To become a better human being, you know, to live the way Creator had prayed and hoped. I feel that we are Creator's hope, you know, as children. I feel that Creator has a great hope for every one of us. I don't care what you've done. That's why I say I don't hate people. I pray for people, even those that do appalling things. I pray for them, that they will be uplifted out of that they will be able to be free of that evil that has gripped them. I pray for them, you know, and I feel the Creator Mother Father is doing the same. The Creator Mother Father isn't saying, oh, those my kids over there, they're really bad and I'm gonna, you know, destroy them or punish them. No, it's like I love my children unconditionally, you know, and I forgive them for the mistakes and the things they've done, just like I had to learn to forgive myself and my own parents, you know, human parents.
Yeah, that's right. A real family, which should be all of humanity, a real family is built on love. My daughter hung something in the hallway that said that a house is made of boards and paint and bricks and, you know, different materials, and it said, but a home is made of love.
Yeah,
and I love that. Every time I see that, I know that
I'm gonna say unconditional love, because this is a piece we all have to understand. Unconditional love.
Yeah.
Unconditions. In other words, I love you unconditionally. No matter what you do, I still love you. If you make the worst mistake in your life, if you do something really horrible or bad, you know, I still love you unconditionally. That's love, you know, with no conditions. It's like, because in the end, you know, we all have to come to that place where we're going to view or review what we did, what we chose. And I believe this, you know, because it's sort of like I've read many people who have had near-death experiences who come to this place where they are shown a review of the mistakes and the things that they have done that are harmful and how they felt. They said they experienced, this is interesting to me, so the things they've done to others, for instance, they experienced within their whole being what it felt like, what that other person was feeling when they did harm to them, and how awful that experience was for them. and how they finally realized what they had done or what they had said, how harmful and hurtful it was, because they felt it fully and wholly within themselves. You know, and then they were told they could go back and they could live their life however they chose. They want to continue on that pathway, or they want to do something differently because they realized how harmful their words or actions were.
Yep, and that's, I understand that like you wouldn't believe. I see, and that's why I'm really cautious about what I say and what I do, because I would know what it would feel like for if I was to do somebody wrong, what it would feel like if somebody was to do me the same way, and I get it. I honestly get it, and I just want to try to put a message out there to the world in hopes that they'll get it as well. I wished everybody could have the same visions that you and I had about the way that it played out, regardless of whether, you know, some would say we just had a dream or whatever. No, it was more than that. It was a life-changing experience.
Well, maybe that's why we were awake, because I was awake. I was driving the car, so how do you argue
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
I wasn't taking any drugs.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, I mean, I listen, you know what, Shaziz, a long time ago I came to the realization I do not have to defend myself to anyone.
Yeah, I
just have
too.
To make sure that I'm speaking the truth, you know, and I'm not making things up. I do not have to defend myself and my experience to anyone. I don't have to do that.
No, that's the whole key. That in itself is the whole key to everybody out there trying to figure out how it is that they're going to get along with each other. You don't have to believe nothing we're saying. Someday you may experience it, and then you'll come back and tell us about your experience, and we're not going to discount yours because we've already had ours. As far as I'm concerned, you and I both had our experience, just like thousands of other people out there that have similar stories of what we're talking about. And so, you know, it's just
well,
like,
why would, let's say, okay, let's say somebody doubts what we had, or what our experience. Let's say, like those naysayers are standing up always to this other people's powerful, sacred, extraordinary experiences. Why would they do that? Okay, we're not saying I was taken up there and into a light and told to hate people. I was not taken up there in the light and told to destroy things and be uncaring. No, we're talking about something incredible. We're talking about something that can bring joy to everyone, that can bring inner peace, that can bring peace to the world. Why would you diss that? Why would you say that's a bunch of bunk? What are we talking about here?
Well, because it doesn't match with what society's been indoctrinated to believe, you know, that everything's so terrible and there's no good, and, you know, negative breeds negativity. Everybody knows that. Bad karma, good karma, whatever you want to call it. You treat people trashy, and then they're going to come back and treat you trashy as well, you know.
Well, that to me is that again, I have to keep returning to, what is that? Who is that? What brings that type of darkness and harm and doubt? And, you know, my teacher, Wallace Blackout, used to talk, and he'd say, doubt is a disease.
Yeah.
And doubt, once you start doubting, you're lost.
That's right. And, you know, for those people that out there being the negative naysayers, they're just feeding the same darkness that we're fighting against. They're never going to change my heart after what I've seen. They're never going to change the person that I am, that I believe, or the direction that I'm going. No matter how many times that they reject what I'm telling them, like you said earlier, we're not forcing our truth on anybody. We're just sharing our experience with people in hopes that they'll find that same experience as well, you know. We're not even trying to get everybody to come over here and drink Kool-Aid or anything like that. We ain't saying that there's an alien spaceship.
I hate Kool-Aid.
Yeah, that's going to rot your teeth.
Exactly.
But we're just saying that
all we're just saying is our visions given to us was about the joy and beauty of who we really truly are.
Yep.
And about the power that we have. You know, what we choose, either positive or negative, we are given that power, and how we are co-creators, and how there is a source, how there is something beyond our imagining.
What we could actually do with this world, a small example of what we could do with this world, if you got 10 people living in your house and only one person trying to take care of things, then your house is going to get disorderly, messy, dirty, and all that kind of stuff, and eventually it becomes a miserable place to live. And that's the same thing what's going on with this world. If you've got one or two or maybe even 1,000 people out of almost 9 billion people that are not trying to do anything positive to the make the situation better, then our house is going to get dirty.
It's the same. Now, you know, I want to talk about, because I'm feeling out there what's happening, because when we talk about these things, and I know there are people suffering out there. I do know that. And I know for a lot of people it's really hard. I understand that. I've been there too. And I'm not saying everything is all peachy keen and all that stuff in my life, but it is a great deal better because I have this peace here. And I believe everyone can have that peace, and the word believe is the key piece here. So I know people are suffering, and I hear the responses, well, my life is miserable. So what you're saying is, you know, can't help me. Things are so horrible. Things are so awful. I'm on the edge here. I'm nearly falling off this cliff. I get that. So people are questioning what you and I are saying. What good is it going to do me? I've prayed hard. Somebody's going to say, well, I have prayed hard, and nothing happened, you know. I prayed hard in certain circumstances in my life, and things didn't happen, but there was something that finally did happen. That's why I'm still here alive on this earth talking to you right now. And that's why you out there listening, you're still here too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just saying that I understand that it's not easy, but I guess I'm saying I've been in that place where I didn't want to live anymore, where it was hopeless. I didn't have any resource to call upon, or I thought I didn't. I'm going to say I thought I didn't, because this is the piece right here. We think that it's hopeless. We're told that it's hopeless. We're told that we're helpless. We're told a lot of this stuff, and we believe it. We glommed onto it because it was imprinted in us for a long time, generations. And that, to me, is that entity or that evil that wants us to believe that it is all hopeless, that the situation that you are in personally, where there is seems to be no hope, where there seems to be the end and all is lost, that's what that entity wants you to believe. So it takes a turning. It takes a turning away. It takes something inside of you that is that belief in a greater something, about yourself and about Creator, Mother, Father, or about the goodness. It takes that, and we all meet that. We all come to that point in our lives, and we will continue until we turn, until we make that turn on that other path.
I want to read something to everybody. I'm not the best reader in the world, but I want to read it. But there's a poem out there that I shared with a friend that I really care about. Seemed to be having a bit of hard times and stuff. But it's called Footprints, and you know, I'm not exactly sure if this is the same exact version as the original or whatever, but either way, I'm going to read it anyway. It said, not sure, one night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest time of his life. this really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. He said, "Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way, but I have noticed that during most troublesome times of my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, that you leave me." And the Lord replied, "My son, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trials and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you."
I remember reading that.
Now, hope and love, as those are the times that we carry each other. And so even when you're with your best friend and you both are going through the worst times, and your best friend is down and out, and you're continuously trying to put hope and love in your friend's heart that they don't give up, those are the times that you carry each other. You know? And what we're doing right now is, to some extent, we're trying to carry the world to the over to this path that leads to that light we keep talking about, the good things instead of all the bad things. Sure, we're going to have some trials and tribulations. This world didn't get this bad overnight, and it's going to take a while before people get past all the things that they've been told. The lies and the deceit that mankind has put upon each other, the wars and the rumors of wars and the plagues and the famine and all the terrible atrocities that have happened throughout history, we can't get past those if we're dragging them with us. And that's why I'm asking the question, finding the truth with the question mark on it, is, we're only one day away from the new year, which is 2018, and will we drag 2017 in the past with us to the extent, not to forget the things that happened in the past so that we don't repeat those things, but to move on into the future. The future that men like Martin Luther King talked about, where a person was judged by the content of their character, and all the good words that you've ever heard from any of the notoriety speakers or whatever, notable speakers, whatever the word is I'm looking for, the speakers that came out there to try to uplift the people and to try to get them to understand that working together was the solution to all these problems. You know, on the mad
side. And that peace is the way. Violence is not the way.
Yeah.
Because one begets the other. It begets the same. Whatever you do, whatever you think about, whatever comes out of your mouth, brings back tenfold what it is.
And
what goes round comes round. These sayings, in our lifetime, they're very important if you really think about it.
Yeah, and if you came from an abusive family or an abusive relationship and you carried that with you, you didn't at some point in the game wise up to break those chains to not repeat the mistakes that were happening to you, then you'll become what you were raised to be, violent, or whatever. I came from a past that wasn't always a bed of roses. I've been down some pretty hard roads, but I learned a lot of stuff going down through what that one pastor was calling the Valley of Blessings. I learned a lot of stuff, and I know that those things, they made me stronger for the experiences that I had to go through, and that if that wisdom could be shared with somebody else to steer them away from having to take that same hard road. If you look at it, there's been a lot of people that went to prison that came out and they started doing things with the community to guide the youth away from that lifestyle, gang-related or drug-related or whatever. That they, if they hadn't done what they did and they hadn't said what they said to those children, they would be following in their footsteps. They would be sitting in a prison cell somewhere as well. This is all we're trying to do. It's just to try to, take the past and all that we've learned from the past and our journey through life and share these experiences to let people know that you do have hope. And if you're standing on the side of the bridge, I have to tell you, before you jump off that bridge and take away that gift that is you, you're not only cheating yourself, you're cheating the world of one of the pieces of the puzzle that is unique. Our Creator didn't make no trash. Our Creator only made treasure. And for whatever evil that was to push your mind to not believe in yourself, to that your worth is, you're not worthy, you're just fed up and you don't want to be here anymore, there are people just like you out here, but they're not exactly like you. You are a one of a kind. And there's nobody, there may be a million people with your same exact name, but there is nobody who can do things the way that you do them or say things the way that you're doing. And so I'm begging and pleading for you, my brothers and sisters, do not jump.
Well, I'm right there with you. I feel that every human being was born with a gift, many gifts, and we all have something to offer. We're all part of the big puzzle here, and if one person decides to just take their life, that piece, that essential piece of that puzzle that will affect you as a person, as a human being, that will touch others just with your presence or just with a smile or whatever it is that could make a difference in someone's life will be missing. And I believe that action that is taken reverberates through the sacred web and affects the whole.
That's right.
You know,
there's people out there that will say, you know, I even had this in my own personal life. There's a young man that I've been trying to counsel whenever I got a chance to, and hope to guide him away from certain things. And his father committed suicide, and he told me at one point in the game that he thinks his dad had a good idea. And so his dad basically led the path to the way out for him that thankfully to this point he hasn't taken. But nonetheless, if you set that example, you know, if my life is miserable for me, I just kill myself and then it's over and I don't have to deal with it. But it's not over. It's not over whenever your family's putting you in the grave. It's not over whenever your family and your friends are missing you and wondering why you took yourself away from them. You know, it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to see what happens to families under those circumstances. It's bad enough when somebody dies of natural causes because we love them and we're going to miss them. But to lose you to something like that, folks, that is the epitome of evil. To take your words, the power that is your words, and to lower somebody down to that depths of darkness that they would want to just get out and take their life, you know, that's why I keep telling everybody out there, your words, you are more powerful than you can possibly imagine. The words coming out of your mouth can literally start wars. The words coming out of your mouth can raise somebody up to the highest levels of heaven and down to the lowest depths of hell. And it's all your choice about what you say or do. And to break the chains of the past, it brings me back to the story of the two little Palestinian girls. When a reporter asked these two little girls, do you ever want peace with Israel? And they said, no, we hate Israel. They killed our mommy and daddy. Well, those are the chains that have to be broken. Otherwise, you know, we're going to have a perpetual situation of war after war after war, and constantly fighting amongst each other and arguing over who's right, who's wrong, which religion's right, which religion's wrong, are they all wrong, blah, blah. You know, you've heard it all. And if you haven't heard it all, and you dare to step down into the abyss of the matrix that we find ourselves living in, if you go down that rabbit hole, you will see it all. You'll see things that you don't want to see. You might find some truth down there. But if you don't have the strength and the love in your heart to discern between the truth and fiction, then you're going to go out there and you're going to disrupt the rest of the people who are trying to find their truth as well. My truth, as far as me being a Christian, it's my truth, and I live it, and I try to walk that path like I believe that Jesus talked about. I'm not perfect at it, and I make mistakes, but you know, I'm not trying to force my way is the only way because I got all the answers. I don't. I'm just another human like you trying to work my way through what I believe could have been a beautiful thing, but has been skewed so badly that people like us have visions, and we come to share these visions with you to tell you that there's a possibility that these things will come to pass if we don't get our act together, so to speak. So that's where I stand. I mean, if you got to hate me for it, then I guess that's your choice as well. But
well, I want to say that speaking about the no matter what, the voice, the words, no matter what, everything will be all right. To me, that relates to the spirit within us, okay, that is pure and that is frequency or particle or energy of the original creator, mother, father. And that as a human being, you know, we come here and we have trials and challenges and so on and so forth, and the opportunity to choose, you know, to become a better human being, to elevate ourselves, to become what I think a mother, father would want their child to become. You know, in the words, no matter what, everything will be all right, relates, in my understanding, to the spirit that is within us. This to me is like a big school here. You know, we're sent out to school, you know, to learn, what it is that we can learn, what it is that we can become. Are we going to spread our wings and fly and become that human who follows the way of the sacred teachings, you know? And we're going to make mistakes, just like every child does. We're going to fall down. We're going to learn how to pick ourselves up. And again, we're all going to be met with choices. We can either choose to believe that everything is hopeless and we're hopeless, that we have no purpose, or that we're not deserving. You know, that's when a person gets to that place where they feel hopeless. And but the spirit within you is different. It's your mind that tells you it's hopeless. It's the training and the imprints that you have received from that entity or energy or darkness that is roiling around here to mess everybody up, that tells you that you are a vile person, that you're not worthy. Yeah. But the spirit within us still remains the light, still remains that pure particle or aspect of our creator, mother, father. And that I truly believe, that I feel is a truth. And so, you know, it's sort of like we have to get to know ourselves. Know thyself, I guess those are words, maybe they were written somewhere. You know, and I think that's the key piece. Who are we really? And people ask that question all the time. Who am I? What am I doing here, and where did I come from?
Yeah, that's the ultimate question that people ask all the way through their lives. You know, what's the point? And I'm with you on the whole prophecy thing. If the point is that it's going to be written in stone, then we're essentially wasting our time, and we might as well be out there living every day as if it was going to be our last, because it might be. You know, and I don't want to live like that, because I understand that people are suffering in this world. I was told that people were suffering in this world, Barbara, and I really care. I don't want people to suffer in this world. I wish there was something that I could do to make it better for them. But I refuse to lay down to evil. I refuse to give up on speaking words of wisdom that could potentially guide the world in a different direction. Maybe what I'm saying would never be possible, never be able to come to pass, but if I just lay down and give up and just say, that's that, you know, hey, book said, you know, this all is going to happen, and, you know, I do believe as you do about that things will be okay in the end. But the road to get there, I think we're all going to the same destination, but the road to get there is going to be paved by our own personal actions, our own choices in life. And you can see an example of that from your past. Whatever you've done in the past and the things that you say, well, maybe if I hadn't have done that, I probably wouldn't have been suffering right now. You see what I mean?
Well, I think we have to learn how to take responsibility for ourselves, because once we leave our parents' home, we are responsible for ourselves, for our actions, for the choices that we make.
Yep.
We can't blame anybody else. Well, we could. Lots of people do. They constantly keep in that rut. Well, so-and-so did this to me, or they did that to me, or my parents did this, or they didn't do that. So, well, you just keep yourself stuck in a rut. You're not lifting yourself up and saying, hey, wait a second, I've made choices. I am responsible for where I'm going, what happens to me, what I do to others, and so on and so forth. That's taking responsibility. I'm responsible for my life here and where I'm going to wind up, how I'm going to wind up. You know, energetically, how I'm going to wind up, what that experience is going to be like. You know, in the way of our native tradition, we say that when you leave this physical realm, you are danced through the west gate into the forever green. But who is waiting there for you are the grandmothers and the grandfathers. The grandmothers and the grandfathers are going to say to us, oh, grandson, granddaughter, we gave you a job to do on the earth. How did you do? So you've got to tell them. You're going to be met with that question. So, okay, wait a second. They gave me a job here on the earth. They want to know, how did I do? What did I do? Did I fulfill that job, that purpose, that reason for my being here? You know? And we're all going to meet that. We're all going to meet that question.
I would answer,
however you want to say.
I would answer that the majority of my life I failed miserably in doing what I knew in my heart was right. But at the point when I finally realized what my actions were causing to others, I changed it the best that I could. And even then, I wouldn't be proud of all that I'd done. And
that's exactly. And the point is that it is not about judgment. They're not there to judge us. They're there to ask us, to alert us, to awaken us to how did we do? How did we live our lives? They gave us a job to do, okay? So they're the spokesmen, the grandmothers and grandfathers are spokesmen for Great Spirit, Wakantanka. And they want to know, grandson, granddaughter, how did you do? You know? And that, and we're going to meet that on some level. And we're all going to have to answer to that. And, you know, I have to go ahead.
I believe that as well.
Well, I want to share something that I've been come to me recently, you know, and this is personal, but I'm going to share it. I carry a Chinampa Wakhan, sacred pipe. I was guided to do that. It wasn't my choice. I was guided to do that by my teacher, Wallace Black Elk, who said to me that the spirits talked to him and told him that they recognized me. And so he guided me through their teaching, their guiding on how to carry this Chinampa Wakhan, the sacred pipe. It's one of the most sacred gifts that the White Buffalo Calf Woman brought to the people during times, really troubling times. And White Buffalo Calf Woman, Peskawian, brought the same words that Yeshua, Jesus, brought to the people about loving and compassionate family, you know, being kind and taking care of the earth and each other and so on. Same words, walking in a sacred manner, we call it. How to walk in a sacred manner. You know, so I pray every day. I put down my tobacco, it's cold. I take my sacred tobacco out and I pray every day. I welcome the grandfather's son, Umpa Wee. And I pray to the four quarters, all the Tunkashulas and the Wamakaska, all the beings, the holy beings, the sacred helpers. I pray with gratitude for the Mother Earth, for the water, the green, the fire, and the stone. And I pray for the families. I pray for all the children of the earth, our relatives. Mitakuyeo Yasin, it's called. We are all related. I pray for the black, the red, the yellow, and the white nations, and now the brown nations. I pray for the health and well-being of everything, of all life, of all creation. I give thanks and gratitude. I say, thank you so much for my life. Thank you for this beauty all around us. I pray for those leaders of the world. I pray for their health and well-being, but mostly I pray for them to be touched, for their hearts and their spirits and their mind to be open to the goodness, to come to turn toward Creator, Great Spirit, and know that everything they do will affect the coming generations. So I pray for peace between all nations. I pray that way for the people who are the most vile, I ask, the Creator touches them and awakens them, because they need help. And recently what came to me, because I've noticed and I've been very aware, as we've talked about, is evil is rising. And I said, you know, the Pope in the last couple of years has put it out that he's training more priests to learn how to do exorcism. And you have to ask yourself, why? Okay, why is that happening? Well, it's obvious to me, because evil is rising. And so I finally started saying, protect us, all people, protect us from evil. And I thought that I would never say those words again, because I grew up Catholic, and that was one of the words in the prayer, you know, a prayer to our Father. Because I was told when I was a child that all that church, in that church, was going on in that time was a lie. That there were things there that were harmful, and I was sent on a different pathway. I found the pathway called the Chunkaluta, the Red Road, okay, which is my journey. That's my personal journey. Doesn't have to do with anybody else. But those words are very real and very important at this lifetime now. Protect us from evil. Because I've said it over and over again, and you've heard me, that evil is rising. And behind all that we see going on here, behind the acts that people are doing that are harmful, that are destroying life, I had to ask the question, who would want to destroy this sacred life? Who would want to destroy the pure waters, the air, and everything? And people say, oh, it's the corporations, oh, it's Monsanto, oh, it's the this, it's the Bilderbergs, it's the elite, it's the cabal. But who is behind this? And what came to me was Lucifer, evil. And I thought, well, I'd never go there. I know that that exists. I know that it exists. I've seen it. I've been confronted with it. I was shown it by Creator. To know what we're up against. So now I've started using these words in my prayers. Protect us from evil. You know, I had to come to this. I came to that. It's okay. Because that's true. We need that protection. We need to speak out against that. That is really dark. Really harmful. Who actually hates everything that Creator Mother Father created out of love. And that is so beautiful. So sacred. And so life-giving. That's the only thing that I came to.
Well, I'm so close to what you're saying that it just blows me away. There's no doubt in this world that there's an evil at the top of this pyramid, and I'm trying to tell the people of the world, you got to stop feeding that beast that's eating you alive. All this anger and the hate and the frustration that you put upon each other, you know. It's whatever it is, it's at the top of this doggone pyramid, the power structure that we call this system. I just flat out say it's a system of the beast, because it's literally, you know, tearing humanity apart. It's tearing nature apart, and it's enjoying every second of it. You know, the more you suffer, the better it feels.
You know, Shaziz, I'm a very spiritual person. As you maybe can tell, but I have to be truthful about what I'm receiving, and I can't be blind. I can't turn away and say, well, this is ridiculous. I'm beginning to sound like a preacher. And I've even joked about that. I said, okay, I have to share what I'm getting, and it doesn't mean that I'm a preacher. It doesn't mean that I'm standing on a podium preaching. I'm just sharing. You know what Creator, Great Spirit is giving me. And I have to, and I do know that there is that evil. I've seen it, like I said, and others have seen it. So at this point in my spiritual life, I have to take charge of that. I have to speak the truth. And to me, that's what is going on. So I may sound like a preacher, I don't know. It doesn't matter to me what people think about what I'm saying. I'm only speaking my truth.
I once thought that I wanted to go out and become an ordained minister. And I really, you know, toiled over that for the longest time about, you know, whether or not I wanted to be or whether or not it was meant for me to be. and whether or not I needed to basically go through the system that is right now to actually become an ordained minister. But I took a long time and I contemplated on it, and I wanted to see that it was actually coming from my God, my Creator, that's what I was supposed to be doing. And what I came to figure out was, I don't need no piece of paper. I don't need no label or any, like a pastor or a preacher or minister or whatever, because the words that Jesus told us about essentially was to tell us that we needed to go out there into the world and do good things and testify to good things that were done to us, to miracles and such. So we were all born literally to be ministers to some extent. I'm not saying as the label.
Well, I call us seed. I call us seed planters.
Yeah, well, that too. That's the terminology.
You're breaking up.
Oh, sorry. The terminologies that we're using is probably one of the biggest reasons why we're hindered in trying to get our message across, because, you know, certain words mean different things to certain people. But,
yep.
You know, there's a lot of good things that's happened to me in my life that I like to share with people, and there's a lot of bad things that happened to me in my life that I also feel are necessary to share with people in order to benefit them, that they don't repeat that kind of craziness or whatever. So, I come to the conclusion, I didn't need to become an ordained minister. I was just going to live my life and do what it is that I do, speaking words of wisdom when I find them, you know, and sharing that those experiences with people. And that's the best that I can do. And it's not under some hierarchy, like, you know, what the Catholic Church would be the equivalence of, is that, you know, it's, you know, you got to go through this guy and then that guy. They got a chain of command all the way up until you finally get to your Creator. You see what I mean? No, this is a direct connection between me.
Well, you're breaking up for me. You're breaking up here for me.
Yeah.
I want to say that you were ordained by Creator.
Yeah.
You don't need a piece. You need a piece of paper. But I want to say one more thing, because I know we're coming close to an end here. You know, if you don't believe that Yeshua, Jesus, walked the earth, well, what about the peacemaker? Peacemaker walked the earth. Came also on Turtle Island here. Same message. White buffalo calf woman came, brought the same message. Buddha brought the same message. Feathered serpent brought the same message. Viracocha brought the same message. And they all appeared very similar to how Yeshua appeared. So, something's going on here, folks. That's all I got to say.
Well, that's the way I look at it. And I'm doing my best to try to sort through it all and try not to be disrespectful to others, you know, because, like I said this many times before, that we're all walking our own personal spiritual journey, and I can't walk yours for you. You have to find that yourself. But in the meantime, if I look out there and I see that there's some need that you're having, you're suffering, or somebody in this world suffering, it's been laid upon my heart to do what I can to make their suffering less. You know, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's the right thing. Am I still breaking up on you, Barbara?
Just a little bit. I just want to say that I feel, you know, how important and powerful prayer is. You know, I really have seen miracles occur, and that's not, you know, a lot of people, of course, I know you have too, and two dog, and I just feel that such a power, it is a power, because it is words coming from our heart, and we know the power of word and thought and emotion, and how it creates, and how it can heal, and how it can change things, and there are those that are naysayers toward that, and those that are believers. And all I'm saying is that's just my experience and what I've been given and what I have seen, you know, with my own eyes and my own experience. And I suppose there may always be these opposing factors in our life. It's part of creation. Positive, negative, yin, yang, light, dark, good, evil, love, hate, you know. And again, right down the middle, standing in front of all those opposing things, is choice, is free will. There we are, every one of us is standing in front of this whole list of good, evil, dark, light, love, hate. And there we are, every one of us is standing before those two paths. Every one of us has been given free will, free choice, to go down one path or the other. And that I feel is a truth that we cannot deny.
I agree.
Talking about truth.
I need to step out for a second. Can you take the rest of this for a minute?
Oh, I'm going to leave me all by myself. Okay.
Yeah, well...
Okay, speaking of that, is that those words I just said, you know, you're going to leave me here all by myself, you know. There have been times in my life when I have felt like I was all alone, you know, all by myself. And that was because I came to the realization during a period of time where it was a most troubling time, where I felt very alone. I felt like I had been abandoned, you know, like I was alone. And that's a horrible feeling. And I know many people experience that. But I came to realize, actually, that I was never alone. Never alone. Just like that guy walking on the beach who said, you know, talking to God and said, you told me you would always be walking with me, but when I saw these single footprints, why were you not there? And the Creator said, no, those were my footprints, and I was carrying you. And that's so true, you know, but the perception that he said, his perception was, you abandoned me. I was all alone at those worst times in my life. And the truth was, Creator said, no, no, no. No, I was carrying you then. Those footprints were my footprints, and you were in my arms. And so I had that experience where I thought that I felt, you know, I was alone, I was abandoned. And I come to realize the one thing, that was my perception, just like that fellow who was talking to Creator. My perception was that I was alone, that I was abandoned. I did that. That was my choice to say, oh, I'm all alone here. I turned my back, or I believed that I was alone. And all along, I came to realize, wait, all along, no, I was not alone. And I had proof, basically, to show that was true.
I had an experience like that quite some time back, and I was driving a glass truck, and I was heading off to Kansas City, Kansas at the time, and I was thinking about all the things that was going on in my life at the time. I was having all kinds of problems. I mean, it just seemed like it piled on and piled on and piled on, and I was miserable, and I was making myself more miserable by dwelling on everything, all the negativity that was going on. And this was probably the first and the only time I really ever heard or felt any audible words come through my mind. As I was driving down the road and I'm thinking about how miserable my life was, I felt a hand on my shoulder, on my right shoulder. And I actually heard the words, son, you are truly blessed. And I didn't realize it until up that point, but all of a sudden I got a flash through my mind of my wife and my children and my job and all the things that I thought were so bad in my life. I realized that I was truly blessed. It seemed that all my needs had always been taken care of, even though I may have not been thinking that all my prayers were being heard, or that my life was any account or anything like that. When I realized what it was that I truly had, I had a beautiful wife, I had two beautiful children, I had a fairly decent life that a lot of people didn't have the luxury of, and I was truly blessed. I broke out in tears while I was driving down the road, and it changed me, you know. And it's just, I think that there's a lot of people that really seriously overlook the true blessings that are in their life. Those folks that are around you at all times, the friends that you're with and stuff, and the little miracles that we overlook every single day. There's so many miracles that happen on a daily basis. Heck, it's a miracle that I'm sitting here right now having this conversation with you, Barbara.
Yeah, you know, I just come into my mind here. Like I said, I'm not really a what is called like a Bible person, Bible reader. I've just looked a few times at things and looked at other people's words about, you know, revelations or prophecies or whatever. But didn't Jesus, was he went into the mountains and he was there praying and he was tempted by the devil?
Yeah.
And didn't he say, "Get thee behind me, Satan"?
Yep. I've said that a few times.
Oh, well, so I'm just saying, those words are so powerful. You know, and I never thought I'd be saying this because, you know, I feel that there are some truths in that Bible, and I feel that there are some manipulations as well. And I think that we have to seek the truth in those words. And we have to, again, use our discernment, because this is kind of known, you know, the Bibles and the Gospels were written hundreds of years after Yeshua walked the earth. And there were some Gospels that were thrown out, you know, the Gospel of Thomas and various others, even the Magdalene Gospels, that they were just ignored and pushed aside. And then the other Gospels, as we know it, I guess, are the ones that people go by. But when I find myself saying, protect us from evil, and Satan get behind thee, or me, I know the power of words. And I feel that Yeshua gave us these tools, you know?
I believe that as well.
But I want to say something about faith, and the power of faith. And talk about Mother Teresa. And you all know Mother Teresa. Everyone knows her story. But do you know that she had, as a nun, the rule is that you have what is called an advisor, who is a priest, okay? And everything, that's your sort of like your confessor, okay? And over her lifetime, after she received her visions, she said that Jesus spoke to her and had visions of him and guided her to go out into the world and to help the lepers and help the poor people and set up these places, right? And that was her vision, and she finally got the okay from the monastery she was in or from the church she was in to do that. And as soon as she did that, as soon as everything fell into place, she said through her letters that were written to her mentor or to her confessors that she was abandoned. Now, these letters were secret. No one knew about these letters, and the priests were actually supposed to destroy them. But the two priests that were her confessors over her lifetime, out there on the streets helping people, actually saved a lot of these letters, and it became a book. I think the New York Times had, this is what caught my attention. During a time when I was experiencing that abandonment, like I was all alone, I found this article about her, about how she experienced this, and I said, wow, that's amazing, and I started to read. I got her book, or the book, that was written by this priest. And in the book, all of her letters were speaking to her confessors about the abandonment, where Jesus had abandoned her, where she was completely alone and in the dark. And the most miraculous thing about this, Jesus, was that no one ever knew that this woman, Mother Teresa, even though her personal experience was that she was in the dark, all alone and abandoned, that she kept her faith and she kept going with what she was guided to do, to help people, to give everything, her whole life, to poor people. To me, that's faith. You know, that even though you may feel, come to that place where you feel that you are alone and you're abandoned and you're all by yourself in the dark, the faith is what keeps a person going.
I agree. There's a lot more to hope and faith and that. Look, I started this show off with a question, finding truth, you know, and we're only one day away from the new year, 2018, and asking whether or not we were going to drag 2017 with us, you know. We got an opportunity. 2018 could be a wonderful year of miraculous things, or it could be a miserable year of repetitive things from the past. I have faith in humanity that because of the fact that each of us have a choice, a free will, that if we ever chose to make 2018 the most miraculous year of human history, that we could make it so. And that even as bad as that things may seem and the odds against us, that if we ever chose to use this planet and the gifts that we've been given in a respectful manner, that we literally could bring about a heaven on earth. Now, for me saying that and knowing what the book says in the last days, that as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man, that things would be so terrible, you know, maybe those words were spoken because if things went the way they were before, then yeah, those things would definitely come to pass. But if for some reason, some miraculous miracle, the powerful words spoken here today on this show and many other shows and by other people throughout the history of time, you know, that come together and they told about, like Martin Luther King said, judge a man by the content of his character, all these wonderful words from all the different you know, spiritual leaders or, you know, guidance teachers or whatever throughout the history of time, if all those words were ever taken to heart, combined into one solid goal of making humanity better, that we could literally bring about a heaven on earth. And then if our Lord or our Creator showed back up, how could He be angry at us? I have faith that that's possible. You know, the world.
Well, let's make that agreement. I'm going to make that agreement.
Sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up, will you? Shut up!
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system. Help, help, I'm being repressed.
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, three dots where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rise that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot. No, we're tough and able, quite indefatigable.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terrible. All that is working to serve the terrible and the knights of the round table.